Last week, we began a series about following Jesus by defining the terms denomination and denominationalism. To refresh our memory, denomination is defined as a group of congregations that are joined together under some governing body that effectively serves to distinguish and divide them from other congregations. Denominationalism is the advocacy of separation into religious denominations. I also suggested that there were three reasons why denominationalism is wrong. The first is, very plainly, it is unscriptural, meaning there's no Bible text, no Bible verses that support the division of churches. It is anti-scriptural. It goes against the very teaching of unity that Jesus prayed for in John 17. And the third reason, it's harmful to the cause of Christ. It discourages people from believing in Christ, John 17 and verse 21. But it is possible for people today to simply be Christians without being a member of any man-made denomination. Indeed, by following the example of Jesus himself, we can be members of his body. And that's just simply the Lord's church, without putting any man-made names to which faith we may claim that we have, just like we read about in the scriptures. The first thing I want to do today is notice some examples that Jesus has set for us. The religious climate of his day, when he came to this earth, the Israelites were living under the law of God that was given by Moses, on Mount Sinai. In that law, God had not made provision for the division of his people into religious sects or parties. They were just one nation that were going to serve God. Yet by the time Jesus came along into this world, the record we have in the Gospels, the Jews had formed several distinct religious parties. One was the Pharisees. They were somewhat conservative. The second was the Sadducees. They were very liberal, the modernists of their day. And then you had the Essenes, the radical isolationist. And then you had the Herodians, or the Zealots, that were the political religionists. It was assumed that all these were serious about religion and would be associated with one of these groups. Everybody had to be part of a group. Now, we look at the example of Jesus. Which of these groups did Jesus belong to? He belonged to none of them. Not one of these four groups did Jesus belong to. Instead, he maintained what we would call a non-sectarian relationship with God to the very end of his life. He was an Israelite, living at a time when the law of Moses was still in effect. He was simply a Israelite. In addition, he encouraged everyone, all the Jews, to live by the law while it was still in effect. Matthew 5, verses 17 through 20. In other words, he encouraged everyone to simply be what the law of Moses intended them to be, Israelites. So then we have to ask the question, what would Jesus be today? If Jesus were still on the earth, would he be a Baptist, or Catholic, or Presbyterian, or Methodist, or name any other denomination, and ask yourself, would Jesus be that? If he were simply an Israelite then, in the first century, would he not simply be a Christian today? And that was certainly what his disciples came to be called in Acts 11 and verse 26. In any case, the example of Jesus that he set forth for us is clear. Just be what God originally intended under the law, which is in effect. Now, since in the New Testament, the law of Christ, as we have mentioned there in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 21, the disciples of Christ were called Christians, and so should we. Not only should we be content with being called a Christian only, but we should also be concerned with just being Christians. Nothing more, nothing less. But how can we be sure that we are simply Christians, members of a church that we read about within the scriptures, the pages of the New Testament? It helps to see what the Bible says about it. When we read in the New Testament about the Lord's church in the first century AD, it was a church that was promised by Jesus. Matthew 16 verse 18, Jesus promised to build his church. The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which means a called out group, an assembly, a congregation. So, was Jesus promising to create his own group of people who have been called? Second thing we need to notice is that this was established through the preaching of the gospel. And how did this calling take place? Well, according to the Apostle Paul, we are called by the gospel of Christ, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. On the day of Pentecost, after the ascension of Christ, we see by preaching the gospel, Peter called out those who were willing to express their faith in Jesus, Acts 2, verses 38 through 41. And notice that those who gladly responded in faith, repentance, and baptism were added to that church. To what and by whom were they added? We find in the answer in verse 47. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, which church were they being added to? Were they being added to the Baptist church, the Methodist church, and on down the line? The day of Pentecost was the beginning of the Lord's church, his ecclesia. This called out assembly or group was created when the gospel was preached. A third point. It has expanded through the preaching of the gospel. At first, the church existed only in Jerusalem. As the gospel continued to be spread and preached throughout the area, and people responded to it, groups of these saved people in various cities would meet together. Each group became known as a church in a local sense, in contrast to the church universal, which is made up of all those who are saved throughout the world. For example, during Paul's first missionary journey, a lot of these churches were established. Acts chapter 14, verses 21 through 23. They were established by simply teaching the gospel of Christ. A local church was formed when those who obeyed the gospel joined together in their work and worship. A fourth point. They were edified through the apostles' doctrine. They were united in Christ, and these local churches were independent of any human association or federation of churches. And Christ directed them through his inspired apostles as they taught them how to work and how to worship together. Acts 2 and verse 42. And sometimes this teaching by the apostles was done directly, other times by appointed emissaries, like in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. But just as often, the teaching was done through the letters or the epistles written by the apostles. We look at all of the letters in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and on. Now, when we see what the Bible tells us about the Lord's church, we learn that by responding to the gospel and then paying close heed to the apostles' doctrine, again, Acts 2 and verse 42, people in the first century were able to be Christians only. And there was no confusion that we see today about which church is right. But is it possible for us today to do this? I believe yes. And here's how. There is a way out of religious division. First of all, accept the call of the gospel. Remember, Christ calls us into his church, the ecclesia, through the gospel. So we can begin by obeying the same instructions that Peter gave on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and verse 38. We do this by repenting of our sins and being baptized for the remission of our sins, then we would receive the same blessings just like those 3,000 did on the day of Pentecost, salvation. And by being saved in this manner, we know then that the Lord truly adds us to His church, just as they were added in Acts 2. But then what? Well, we have to follow the example of the early Christians. The early Christians continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2 and verse 42. They joined together. They joined no other religious organization, and neither should we. By being in Christ, we are automatically united with all others who are in Him. As members of the Lord's church, we should study carefully the New Testament description of the church that continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. This description is found throughout the book of Acts, as well as in the epistles that follow it. It's here that we find instruction from the Lord and His apostles on how to worship the Lord acceptably, to be scripturally organized as local congregations, how to live and work together as Christians, spreading the gospel of Christ through word and example. And since the apostles were guided by the Holy Spirit, we can be sure their instructions were exactly what Jesus wanted them to be. If we duplicate the early churches by following the apostles' instructions, we will simply be Christians, and we can be certain the Lord is pleased with us. As Jesus said to His apostles about those who would receive or reject His instructions or their instructions, Luke 10 and verse 16, "He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Simply being a Christian and duplicating a New Testament congregation is not difficult, not as difficult as some might think. There are literally thousands of such congregations throughout the world, and there's likely one in your area right now. I'd suggest that you feel free to contact me or one that's nearest you. And so by following the example and teaching of Jesus, as revealed by His apostles, we can be led out of religious confusion and division that dominates the religious world today. Let me ask you a question. Don't you want to be just simply a Christian, a member of the Lord's church that we read about in the New Testament? If that's the case, then I plead with you to render obedience to God's word as first proclaimed on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. And by doing so, you can have full assurance of God's word that you will be added to the Lord Himself, by the Lord Himself, to His church. But then you have the responsibility to learn and follow the apostles' doctrine as you serve the Lord Jesus in your life. If you've not responded to the commands of the gospel as put forth by Peter in Acts 2 and verse 38, why not? Why not make changes in your life today? And as we've alluded to in chapter 2 and verse 41, then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. They simply became Christians. There's nothing mentioned here about any denominational name. Those names, as we noticed last week, came from man. And those men who these religions are named after did not want that. I want to thank you for listening this morning. And if you have any questions, feel free to look me up. If you disagree, be sure to bring your Bible and let's have a study. Thank you again.